Reishis Vayomer Elokim Hinei Nosati Lachem Skolesev Zoreya Zera. Hashem said to Adam that I've given you all the grass that has seed in it, Ashal Pnei Chol Oretz Veskola Eitz Asher Bo Pri Eitz, and all the trees that have fruit in them with the seed in the Zoreya Zera, Lachem Yeloch, for you it should be for food, Lachol Chayas Oretz, for all the animals, for all the birds, and I gave for them all the grass to eat, and so it was. So we see from here, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that the correct shot in the pasuk, we don't have time to go into all the diukim, is that for Adam, it was given over the fruit of the trees. Originally, the fruit of the trees was meant for Adam Rishon. That was his food. And for the animals was the asif, was the grass. Kol yerek asif, all the greenery, all the grasses, that was for the animals. The birds and the animals. So we see that the main fruit of a human being comes from the tree. The main fruit for a human being comes from the tree. After the chet of Adam HaRishon, though, after he sinned, because he listened to your wife, and you ate from the tree that I told you not to eat from. So now, the ground is cursed. You're going to eat it with sorrow, with pain and suffering, all the years of your life, all the days of your life. And it'll produce all sorts of thorns. V'ochalta es esev hasodeh. And you're going to have to eat from the grass of the earth. So that part of the curse of Adam was before his food was from the tree. And now his food was from the grass. B'zeh sapecha teich alechem. Through the sweat of your nose, you will eat bread. Ad shuvchel adoma, till you return to the ground, ki mimenu lekochta, because that's where you're taken from, ki ofra ato velofa toshu. You're taken from the ground and you return to the ground. So part of the curse was that man lost his main food, what he was supposed to eat. The way he lost it was by eating from the wrong fruit. Hashem told him you can eat from every fruit in the garden, right? Rakmi eitz adas tovara, from the tree of tovara, mi pri o eitz asher bezoch hagan, omer lo im lo yisoch li mimenu. Excuse me. Hashem planted a garden in Eden, and he put man there. All sorts of beautiful trees that were good to look at, pleasant to look at, and were good to eat. And the tree of life was in the middle of the garden. And also Deitz Adas of good and bad. Vaitzav Elokim, Hashem Elokim al Adam, and Hashem commanded Adam, Leimor mikoleitz agan ochol teichel. You can eat from any tree, umeitz Adas tovara lois teichel, but not from that one. Not from the tree of tovara. Eitz Adas tovara of knowing good and evil. On the day you eat from it, you will certainly die. So we see that trees are a big part of creation. That's a big deal. The Torah makes a big deal about trees. They get a lot of space here, a lot of ink. In the Sefer Torah is about the role of trees in creation itself and in human beings' tafkid's purpose and in his downfall. That he loses the eitz adah, he loses the fruit of the tree and has to eat from the produce of the ground. This Shabbos is Tu B'Av, 15th of Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, which is the head of the year as far as trees are concerned, Trumas and Maaseres. Doesn't really affect us too much right now because we buy all our fruits and vegetables, already Trumas and Maaseres and everything. If you end up getting some real tevel, then you have to know real things that came straight off the trees, and you have to know when it blossomed, when the fruits were, when the buds came out, or when it got to a third of its growth. Different things you have to know, and there's a time when we say that the fruits are belong to the previous year, and the new fruits belong to the next year. So, but what we more, the connection we have with Tu B'Shvat more is very cute. You know, all the kids, we come home from Gan with the nice little fruits, you know, a bunch of a nice little package with all these fruits in it, which if you're not careful, you'll be over on dozens of Isurim D'Oraisa by eating this stuff. So the best thing to do is when the kids bring those things home is to throw it away when they're not looking. But if you must and you eat these fruits, of course you have to go through elaborate and tedious forms of checking them. But the whole thing that Tu B'Shvat has come down to, as far as we're concerned, and so is a minig, is a very beautiful minig, is to make blessings on fruits. Some people take 15 fruits. I don't know how you're going to find 15 different types of fruits, but some people take 15 different types of fruits and they brachas on them. Whatever, people eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat. It's become like a big deal to eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat. Advertise, get your Tu B'Shvat baskets and the Tu B'Shvat seder and the. You know, it's very cute, but it's not just cute.
Don't they have a minhag to plant shvil on Tu B'Shvat though?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But the minhag Yisrael is to eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat. So we're trying to understand where this, what's the beauty of this minhag, of this custom, and what are the roots of it. So we can already hear that fruits of the tree is something very significant. It's not just eating fruit. Fruits of trees are really what human beings are supposed to eat. And the only reason we're not sustained on fruits of the tree is because of the chet of Adam HaRishon. And when there was a chet of Adam HaRishon, so we lost the merit of and the privilege and the milah, the madrega of just eating from the fruit of the tree. And now we have to eat from the fruit of the ground, the grasses. The grasses, the vegetables. It's interesting to note also that on Shavuos, the same Mishnah which talks about Tu B'Shvat, in that same sugya, in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara talks about on what korban, what sacrifice you bring, what offerings you bring on each one of the holidays. And the Gemara tells us, it says, on Atzeres, on Shavuos, so the fruits of the trees are judged. We know that there are different days of judgment, right? And on Shavuos is the day of judgment for free trees, how much benefit we'll have from trees, how much bounty there'll be in the trees, or the fruit of the trees, whatever. So the Gemara says, why did Hashem ask us in the Beis HaMikdash to bring the offering, the special offering of Shavuos, two loaves of bread? Two loaves of good, geschmack, leavened, white bread. With lots of chomitz in it, real chomitz dikah loaves of bread, on Shavuos. So the Gemara says, "Kedeshi is bochel lechem peyoseitz." In London, Shabbosot. I remember the Zad Loshni. You have the Gemara there.
No.
The Gemara says, "The Gemara says, in order that the trees, the fruit of the trees, should be blessed, we need that there should be a bracha in the crops of the fruit trees. So bring two loaves of bread on a tzeres." On Shavuos, and the Rebbeinu Shem will recall that as a schus, will activate that as a schus, as a merit to bring about a blessing for the fruit of the trees. What's the problem here? What doesn't fit here?
Bread doesn't grow on trees.
Bread doesn't grow on trees, right? Bread doesn't grow on trees. So Rashi said, you have to more there, Rosh Hashanah?
No, but it's Megillah, they look like.
Yeah, that's also true.
Adam HaRishon, this is a
tree. The bread did grow on trees.
Yeah, what did Adam HaRishon do?
It said it was a wheat tree.
There's one opinion in the Chazal that it was a wheat. That it was wheat,
actually
right?
Bread tree. That actually had bread,
whole bread. Right, had whole breads on them, right? So Rashi says in the Gemara there, that you should bring. That's on Daf Tes Zayin. Rashi says on the Gemara, bring Heviu Shtei Lechem Batzeres, bring 2 loaves of bread. Bring 2 loaves of bread on Shavuos. Datzeres is the time for the fruits of the tree. Peiros Eilan, who Omakos Bochol View Lefonai Shtei Lechem, bring 2 loaves of bread. Kedeshi is Bochol Lechem Peiros Eilan, in order that the fruits of the trees will be blessed. So Rashi says, this is a little bit unusual here. Why do you bring 2 loaves of bread so the fruit of the trees will be blessed? So first of all, Rashi says that Shavuos is the beginning of the time of bringing the first, there's a mitzvah of Bikurim, that you have to bring the first of the new crop of the 7 species that Eretz Yisrael is blessed with as an offering. You have to bring it up to Yerushalayim and give it to the Kohen. It's a whole parade there and a celebration. And you don't do that until you bring the first offering of the wheat. The first offering of the wheat is on Shavuos with these 2 loaves of bread. And now you can bring Bikurim from all the other different species that grow in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Vanisha Mati, says Rashi, I heard a nice pshat, he says. The Rabbi Yehuda Latami, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says this piece of Gemara was in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Anisha Mati, says Rashi, I heard a nice pshat, that Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his opinion. The Hoz Lekaman, the Omer B'Sanhedrin, Eitz She'ochal Adam Arishon, Chito Oiso. He goes according to the opinion, the reason, Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason we bring 2 loaves of bread on Shavuos as an offering in order to there should be a blessing on the fruits of the trees, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, follows the opinion in the Midrash that Adam, that the tree that Adam Arishon ate from was a wheat tree. There are 7 different opinions in the Chazal, what it was in Sanhedrin. 7 different opinions there. So one opinion is that it was wheat.
A tree that grows wheat,
right. So now it makes sense, as Rashi, why you bring 2 loaves of bread on Shavuos in order to bring a blessing to the fruit of the trees. What's the kesher? Wheat is a grass. And you want to bring a blessing to the grasses of the field, I can understand, but a blessing to the fruits of the trees? What's the connection? Says Rashi, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasa. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that Adam Arishon, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, it was a wheat tree. Today, trees don't grow wheat. And it's very nice, a very nice pshat to say over at the Shabbos table, and you can say at this Shabbos, that we bring the in the Beis HaMikdash 2 loaves of bread, because it follows the opinion that wheat, that the tree that Adam Rishon ate from was a wheat tree. But what has that got to do with what happened in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash, right, that was after the Chet of Adam Rishon. And as far as we know, even in Vayesheni, wheat was not growing on trees. So what in the world does one have to do with the other? If wheat today is a weed, a grass, so why should that bring a blessing to the fruits of the trees? Bishlam, if Adam Arishon would have been asked, Adam, bring wheat in order that the trees of the Garden of Eden will produce better fruits. And then we can understand. Wheat grew on the tree then, and then it could bring a blessing to the rest of the trees. But today it's not like that. Today it's not like that. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll come back to that. Let's go back. We have to go to the roots. So it says, go to the roots of the Bria to understand it. Literally the roots here, right? So, afterwards. So, after Hashem Yisbo created the world and told Adam that your life will be sustained on the fruit by the fruit of the trees. Any tree you want. Just not Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. That's the only tree you can't eat. Then he was demoted to a grass eater. Now you have to eat not only from the trees, but you're going to eat from what the ground produces. And if you really think about it today, you can't really, maybe you could, there are certain diets that work like that perhaps, you can't really sustain yourself. It's not viable to sustain all the levels of human life, little babies and big people and, you know, old people, on fruit of the tree. We need, what?
There's a certain diet.
Well, there may be, but...
There's no sugar that's called fruitarians. They sit under the trees and wait for the... They don't hurt the trees.
Uh-huh. Oh, I heard about this. Mm-hmm. We call these people fruitcakes. So really, it's not viable to live like that. But what is viable is from the grass, things that grow on the ground. What humanity really sustains itself on is when whatever part of the world you live in is some grain, whether it be rice or wheat or barley or oats. That's the sustenance. That's the literally the bread of humanity are the grains that grow like grasses. So we, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, everything is turned upside down. What was supposed to be animal food before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, things that grow in the ground, became now human food. And what was supposed to be specifically, especially for human consumption and the sustenance of a human being from the trees, was turned into a grass. According to the opinion that the Eitz Hadas was wheat, so not only did Rabbeinu Shem demote man, that he is now going to have to eat from the grasses of the field, but he demoted the wheat itself. You're not going to be a tree anymore. Right. So how did it happen? How did it come about that the whole diet of humanity was turned upside down, and we see it's with a curse too. Like, what's so terrible? Bread is good. It's good. You get angel's bread. It's delicious. What's so terrible with bread? Cakes made from wheat. Delicious. What's the difference? You make gamotzi lechem in oritz on it, or you make bor pireitz on it. What's the difference? Was it so much better when it grew on the tree than when it grew out of the, when it grows out of the ground? I don't know. Maybe it did taste better. I don't know.
Easier to pick off the tree.
Is it really? No, I don't think so. You get a combine, and you cut it all down in one fell swoop. The trees, you got to go. And if it was loaves of bread that grow on the trees, then maybe you're right. But the harvesting maybe is today's easier.
What the whole tree doing?
It's got to shake the tree.
You don't kill the goose.
Shake the tree again.
Akoponim. So how did it happen? So there was a chet. What was the chet? What was the chet of Adam HaRishon? So the Nochash came. The Nochash, of course, is the personification of the Yetzer Hara. And he came to the Isha and he said to him, "Vayomer Isha, the Nochash Oyor Mikol Chayes Adosh Asher Osa Adinu Elohim." Vayomer Isha, and he said to the woman, "Afki Omar Elohim Loisoicho Mikol Eitzagan." Even though Hashem said not to eat from any of the trees of the garden, which was a lie. What are you talking about? We can eat from the trees of the garden. But from that tree that you're talking about, that we're not allowed to, because we'll die if we eat from that one. You're not going to die. Hashem knows if you eat it, you're going to get smart, and you're going to be like him, and the whole Gansa Megillah here. So what happened? The woman looked and she said, "Psh, that's going to make a good soup, a good cholent, whatever it is. That looks like good stuff." She went to the market. Yeah, women, they got the window shopping. She went window shopping. She heard what he said, and then she looked and she, "Whoa, that looks so delicious. That looks like really good food. It's so desirable to the eyes. It should be a wonderful thing to make us even smarter." And she took from the fruit and she ate. And he ate also. And the rest is history, right? So, the Kodak points out that the first chet, if we would have to, chas v'sholem, you know, if you had to write a book, you know, make up a religion, and you wanted to describe how the terrible sin that destroyed humanity, I'm not sure we would come up with this one. Yeah, they come out like a villain, right? A villain who killed a bunch of children. Cannibals, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't even have to do anything with eating. The first sin, like, what's the worst thing that human beings could do? They ate. They made a bari priya ate. They made a bari priya ate. She probably made a bracha before she ate it. She made a bari priya ate. That's the worst thing you can do. You see that the first chet, the first sin, and the most significant from on the negative side act that ever took place in the world of a human being was that meal. And from that meal, which, you know, maybe they licked their chops, as they say afterwards, smacked their lips. How do you say it? Whatever it is, they were. It was finger licking good. That's for sure, right? She said, "Tov l'machol." It was not even a gevaldig meal. So from that meal, the world looks like the way it does because of that meal. So you see that the first sin, which the results of that, all the ra that's in the world is because of that. What was so terrible about what they did? Of course, it was terrible because they violated the tzivui Hashem. They violated Hashem's commandment not to eat from it. But then you have to ask yourself another. So why was it so terrible that Hashem commanded not to eat from it? So Sira of Tzadok HaKohen explains in different places that there were two ways to eat. Not going into all the explanation he gives, really, he says there was one tree. There was the root of one tree when in Gan Eden. And he says, Ve'etza chayim besocha gan, ve'etza das tovara. It says in the post, the tree of life was in Gan Eden, and the Eitz Hadas Tovara. So he says that there was a root of both, the Eitz HaChaim and Eitz HaDas, and there was the ability to eat in two different ways. Adam HaRishon was told to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, all the trees of the garden, which was one way of eating. The other way of eating would have been the Eitz HaDas Tovara. In other words, there was really, as he explains it, there was one root, and depending on how he would eat, all the other trees would determine the nature of all the other trees that would come out, whether they would be like Eitz HaChaim or they'd be like Eitz HaDas Tovara. So I'm going to explain. So he says like this. It's hard for us to relate to this because we're after the chet. But if we can imagine that it's possible to eat something without feeling the personal, physical pleasure of your own body, that was the type of eating that Adam HaRishon was supposed to do. Now, it wasn't like holding your nose and closing your eyes. We don't know what it was. Like the Ramban says that Adam Yoda is Chavu Ishto, when Adam cohabited with his wife Chavu before the Chet, right? So it was the most natural thing in the world. It had nothing to do with taiva, and nothing to do with lust, and nothing to do with passion. It was just a natural thing to do. Right? In other words, it wasn't a sensual pleasure that man was engrossed in. Now, we can't imagine that type of level of creation because we're after the chet. So we don't know it any. We can't even imagine it. So once I gave an analogy, perhaps just to bring it a little closer to our realm of existence, we have different types of pleasure. Human beings have different types of pleasure. You can eat something, and if you're eating a piece of chocolate cake and you're really enjoying it, if somebody else takes a piece of your chocolate cake, you're going to have less to enjoy. Right? His pleasure directly takes away from my pleasure. So you see, my pleasure is connected with my body. If he takes a piece, and I don't get the same amount of pleasure from the chocolate cake anymore, it's a sign that the pleasure I'm getting from the cake is completely physical. It's completely connected to my body. So when my body doesn't get that extra piece, I'm going to have less pleasure. However, if we're, let's say, on top of a beautiful mountain somewhere, and we're taking in the view, it's gorgeous, you're on top of some ridge in Grand Canyon, and you're taking the view, And assuming that you're not a recluse and a being a lone freak, there's another guy standing there with you. And he's looking also. He says, hey, don't look! Don't look, you're taking away from my view. Is he taking away from your view? He's not taking away from your view. You can both have the exact same pleasure. Exactly the same. It might even be better. Two, maybe sometimes better than one. But his pleasure doesn't take away from my pleasure in any way. Because the pleasure that I'm deriving from looking at the tremendous view is not physical. If it was physical and he was taking a piece of it, there would be less from me. Right? So, or if a person gets tremendous pleasure, let's say he's listening to a symphony, somebody else is listening, takes away, it doesn't take away. So on some level, it goes above the level of the physical, but yet there's pleasure involved. But it's not a selfish pleasure that it can only belong to me, and if it's not mine, it's not pleasure, or it's diminished pleasure. So maybe, perhaps, we can understand or try and draw a parallel to the eating of Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Before the Chet, so Adam could eat, and he didn't feel that it's his own personal physical pleasure involved. He didn't feel it. We can't understand it, but maybe it was like an intellectual pleasure. He was ingesting the pleasure of Hashem's revelation of goodness. Every piece of food is a revelation of Hashem's goodness. Whatever it was, there was no selfish physicality involved in his eating. But if you eat from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, and Adam knew this, if you eat from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, you're going to really feel yourself. Your pleasure is going to become physical, it's going to be misgashim, and your physical pleasures are, the more you have for yourself, the more pleasure you're going to have. And if somebody else gets a piece of it, you're going to have less pleasure because you're one body and he's a different body and it's two separate things and there's only so much to go around. And that was the result of eating from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra. There was Tov in there also. There was good in the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra. But there was Ra also. And the Ra of the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra was that you felt that it's something you need for your own physicality. It became a selfish, physical type of pleasure. What we call in one word, taiva. That was the chet. The first chet was taiva. And it wasn't just any taiva. It was taiva sa'achila, the taiva of eating. Right. So we see the root of everything that happened in the world later on, all the decline of humanity to the levels of Ra that exists in the world today, stemmed from the Chet of Taiva. That's the root of it all. It all started with Taiva, like it says in the Pasuk, Ki Tavo Hu Leinayim.
I don't understand the difference between the Taiva for the Eitz HaChaim and the Taiva for the...
Oh, so the Eitz HaChaim was that he should eat it in a way that there's no physical, selfish physical pleasure involved. Would be like, so we can't imagine what it is, maybe some type of intellectual pleasure, which wasn't directly connected with his body.
I also
don't understand it. But there was such a way of eating, that it was possible for Adam HaRishon to eat in a way that it would not be a sensual pleasure. It would just be a natural thing to do, and he could be elevated in his ruchness through eating it. But he chose, for whatever his cheshbonos were, to go the other route. He chose to go the route of Taiva. He chose to go the route of Taiva. So the Meforshim explained, because he wanted to have Bechira Chofshis, he wanted to have free will, that would be a greater Kiddush Hashem if with free will he could still overcome his own desires and show his loyalty and Dveikus in Hashem, that would be a greater Kiddush Hashem. So free will would only be facilitated if you could really feel yourself as something. But if you feel you're completely bottled to Hashem, everything is really just an emanation of Hashem's goodness, it becomes very difficult to have any free will. So he had to be Megashim himself more. He had to make his physicality more of a reality. And Taiva was the way to do that. Taiva was the way to do it. And then it was a force, a very strong force that would pull him in that direction. So the original food, let's go back to what Tzadok said before. The original food that was intended for man was from the eitz, was from the tree. But he was supposed to eat from the tree in a way that didn't that he wasn't exercising his pleasure, his own body, his passion for physical pleasure, but that he was eating because of the Tzibur Hashem. He was eating because Hashem told him, Mikol Priya Eitz, Mikol Eitz HaGan Teuchel, Mikol Priya Eitz HaGan Teuchel, eat from all the fruits of the trees of the Gan. He would eat because Hashem told him to eat. That wouldn't be a physical lust or passion that he was involved with. Would he have some sort of pleasure from it? Mistami would have had some sort of pleasure. It would not have been a physical pleasure. That was the chosen path. That's what Hashem wanted Adam to do. If he would have gone in that path, we know that he would have fulfilled his purpose in the world, and we'd already be in the world of Tikkun. We'd already be in Yemos Mashiach, on a different level of creation. He would have fixed everything up, brought it to its highest level that was possible, and from then on it would have been Olam Aschar, the world, the next world. But he didn't do that. He chose to go the path of Bechira Chofshis, of free will. And in order to you have very little free will on Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur has diminished your free will because you're much holier, you're much more aware of Hashem's presence, you're less connected to the physical world. You become like, the Chazal tells us, the Am Yisrael on Yom Kippur is like a malach. We're like malachim, we're like angels. So he became more gashmi, Adam Rishon became more physical, and by eating from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara with all the gishmak, all the tavas hamachal that was in it, he was able to feel himself as a separate entity, and that already facilitates free will. And he can choose Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. He can go in either direction. In either direction. So the Rebbe Yishmael says, okay, that's the direction you want to go in. Now you're not going to eat anymore from the eitz. Your food is not going to come from the tree anymore. It's going to come from the ground. It's going to come from the ground, and you're going to have to struggle to pull it out of the ground at that. You're going to have to struggle. Really, Sotek Yishmael, what's going on here is something much deeper. Had all the Marishan chosen correctly, so the Hizgalus Hashem, the revelation of Hashem in the world would have been Poshet. Would have been simple, as it was before he did the Chet. It was Poshet. The Rebbeinu Shem was in front of him, he could speak to Hashem. Hizgalus was Poshet. The Yetzer Hara had to come from outside. From inside there was no problems at all. Right? Chazal tell us that when Am Yisrael heard the Ten Commandments, so when they heard Amerecha Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, and they heard the first of the Ten Commandments, Mipi Agruo Shemanu, they heard it directly from Hashem, not from Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says, Nisku Tamil Torah Believim. The entirety of Torah was seared into their hearts. What's the whole Torah all about? Which also is likened to a tree. Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machzikim Bo. The Torah is a tree also. Hashem is also likened to a tree, like it says in Shir Hashirim, Ketapuach Ba'atzei Yar, Kein Doidi Ben Abonis. Hashem is like an apple tree. It's likened in Shir Hashirim, likened to a tree also. The Zohar Kodesh says, Ein Eitz Ela Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is also called an Eitz. By the way, human beings also called an Eitz. Ki Adam Eitz Asode. Man is like the tree in the fields. So the Torah is Eitz, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Eitz. There was a way, what type of Eitz? Eitz HaChaim. That was the pristine revelation of Hashem in the world before Chet of Adam Harishon, where a person could go straight to the source. Eitz HaChaim. The source of life. You could go straight to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He was in front of Adam Harishon's eyes. He could connect to Hashem without any problems at all. He could speak with him like we're speaking with each other. Adam could speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't leave a lot of room for free will, but it's gishmak, right? There's no confusion, there's no effort, but it's gishmak, right? It's free and it's not free, right? Totally free in one way, and it's totally without freedom in another way, because you're obviously going to do the right thing. So before Chet of Adam Rishon, there was Eitz HaChaim. There was a path of Eitz HaChaim. You could go direct to the Rebbeinu Shloim. After the Chet of Adam Rishon, Chodesh Rishon chose the path. It wasn't a punishment. It was. This is the path you chose. Now you want to make it a little more confusing for yourself. You want there to be some concealment. You want to feel yourself as a separate entity. So he took from Taiva, he used Taiva in his avoda, which was a big mistake because the Rebbeinu Shem told him not to do it. It was a nice idea, but it was a big mistake because Hashem told him not to do it. But he chose the path of Taiva. He says, now that he chose the path of Taiva, he can't come straight to the Rebbeinu Shem. What a chutzpah it is to say that you have a connection, direct connection with the Rebbeinu Shem.
I also don't.
But I know there was a way of living a physical life without the selfish, materialistic pleasure of what we experience today. It was some elevated form of eating and cohabiting which did not involve taiva.
But you still want to do it.
Right. It's just like you want to learn Torah. Like you want to daven. That's not taiva. That's not a physical taiva, at least. Right? That didn't exist even in the physical realm. That's So since Adam chose to go the path of taiva, so Hashem said, now you can't come straight to me. But the Hashem didn't abandon us. Okay, now there's Torah. But Torah now takes the form of Tariag Mitzvahs. And Tariag Mitzvahs now is split up into thousands and thousands and thousands of explanations and details in Torah Shebaal Peh. Now try to come to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, go yeshiva for 25 years. It's not so simple anymore. You wanted to feel yourself, you wanted to express your individuality, that's like a very popular thing, right, in modern society, express your individuality, fine. But while you're exploring yourself, you're going to lose your ability to connect to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I'm never going to leave you, and here's the system, if you want to feel yourself, and at the same time not to distance yourself too much from me, and adrabah, bring yourself back to me, here's Taryag Mitzvahs. There's a lot to do now. It's bezeyas apecha now. You're going to have to sweat now. You're going to have to pull it out of the ground. And it's not going to be just one simple commandment. It's not going to be one simple commandment that's going to bring all the Torah into your hearts. It's going to be a big menu of things to do. Like the Esav Hasodeh. Like the grass of the fields. You know, you got one tree. Like Rav Tzadok says, there was really only one tree. But the Esav Hasodeh, but the grasses, they're all over the place. And Kotz V'Dada Tatzmiyot Loch. And you're going to try and get all those grasses out. You know you're going to have interference here and interference there. Here's a thorn, there's a thistle. You're going to have problems doing it. But you can get to it. You can still, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't abandon us. You can get to it. So the Torah really fixes up the mess that Adam and Chava made. Adam and Chava lived in a world where they could just get up in the morning. I don't know how much they had to sleep in the first place, but they get up in the morning and they said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, what are we supposed to do today? Sure, no problem. And they went and they did the Tzivu Hashem. No interference, no struggle, no internal strife, no anxiety, no Yetzer Hara. The serpent comes, move out of the way, get out of the way, buddy. Right? Just push him aside and do it, because there was nothing inside that made them do it. That they would want to do anything else. So they could connect directly with the Eitz HaChaim, with the source of life, directly without any intermediate steps. But once there was Chet or Adam HaRishon, so then it couldn't go like that anymore. It couldn't go like that. If a person is a Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, he fulfills all the Torah, and he reaches a high level of a Tzaddik through Torah, so he can become a Moshe Rabbeinu. And you can talk to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam just like Adam and Chava talk to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe, lei Moshe. Hashem said, hey, Moshe. Or when Moshe didn't know something, he said, imdu ve'eshma. Wait here and I'm going to go ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I just have to speak to him and he tells me anything about it. He says, Baruch Hashem, you know, we have such a person like that in the world. Klai Yisrael had such a person like that in the world. He could talk to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam whenever he wanted. So he elevated himself to such a level that he was able to free himself of the normal needs of human beings, and he could dwell with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Mamish and speak to him in this world, just like Adam before the Chet. Tzadik points out, interestingly enough, that there were a few people that we find who did not have to experience the same type of death as other people. Chazal tell us Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. All right, we have to understand what that means. That Rabbi Yehuda Anossi also, Chazal tell us that the Gemara says that after he died, he used to come home every Shabbos. He used to come home, and he'd make Kiddush. He'd make Kiddush for his wife and the family there. After he died. Brings from the safe. You're not supposed to do that?
What's that supposed to mean?
He didn't. He just walked in and he made kiddush. What is it? Exactly what it means. He walked in just like I come over from shul and I walk in and I get the grape juice out of the refrigerator, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi walked in and he said, get the grape juice and get the wine and then get the challahs, and he made kiddush. Well, it was a mockery. He stood and said, maybe. Uncle Bunny, he didn't experience death until the neighbors started finding out about it, and he says, all right, he got to stop this, and he stopped coming. But Rav Tzadik says, you know why he didn't experience death like everybody else did? Because Rav Yehuda HaNasi, who testified himself, says before he died, he lifted up his fingers, his 10 fingers, and he raised them up to the Shemayim, and he says, I haven't had one pleasure from this world. He took an oath, he swore, that afilu ke'etzba ketana, afilu the extent of the size of his little finger, he didn't have physical pleasure from this world. So unfortunately, I said, gosh, what do you mean he have physical pleasure of the world? He had on his table, like Chazal tell us, he was such a wealthy person, he had radishes, right, in out of season, and he had, lettuce, and all sorts of things. He was rich like Antoninus. His table was full of the greatest delicacies. So the answer is, two answers for him. One, some of the portions say other people ate it. He didn't eat from it. The other approach is, no, he ate like other Marishan. He ate. Of course he ate. But he ate like other Marishan. How was he able to eat like other Marishan? We call him Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Yeah, there are very few people in all the whole list of sages in the Jewish people from the beginning of time till today, the very few people who get the title HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is called Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Why was he called Rabbeinu HaKodesh? Tosu says, because he was so holy, he didn't have pleasures from this world at all. Even the pleasures of flesh, he did not indulge in. What does that mean? It's like Rabbi Tzadik is explaining. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had children also. But his approach to the physical world was one like other Marishan before the Chet. He reached such a level, he was able to live in this world like other, in the physical world, and take part in the physical world, but it was not a taiva at all. There was no physical taiva involved. It was Kodesh, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. And therefore he was able to raise his hand in a shvuah at the end of his life and say, I didn't have any pleasure, I didn't have physical pleasures in this world. It didn't compute by me physical pleasures. Rav Tzadik brings down that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a spark of the neshama of Yaakov Avinu. Just like Yaakov Avinu lomeis, Yaakov Avinu also, Chazal tell us, was shufa the Yaakov, came shufa the other Marishan, that Yaakov Avinu had the same beauty as other Marishan before the Chet. And just Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted to get married, so he told, he was losing patience with his father-in-law, Lavan, he said, Havas ishti, what the Lashon of the post, he said, give me my wife, Vedo, and I'll cohabit with her. That's not going to get you a lot of points with your father-in-law. Yeah, you want to go to bed with your wife, right? So Rashi says that on the post. Kal sheba kalimen oimer king. Says the biggest bum doesn't talk like that. You go to your father-in-law, you say, give me your daughter so I can go to bed with her. He says kal sheba kalimen. Rashi says kal sheba kalimen oimer king. The worst oisvar, the guy's sitting on the street corner spitting out garinim. I mean, the worst. They don't talk like that. Especially to your father-in-law, right? Ella, it says, Lohli Bonim. He wanted to have children. What kind of answer is that? You don't talk like that. What kind of answer is that? No, he just wanted to have children. He wanted to bring in the Shvatim. He wanted to bring the Shvatim in the world, right? That was all. So Rav Tzadik explains in many different places. What's the pshat? He says, but Yaakov Avinu, cohabitation with his wife was like putting on tefillin. Lohli Shvatim. I want to put on tefillin. He didn't know from Hanok Gashmis. Yaakov Avinu was so Kodesh that he was, that's why Chazal says, Shufa de Yaakov, his beauty was like the beauty of other Marishan, that he lived in the physical world, but he was completely separate from the physical world, in that he wasn't indulging in the passion and lust and the taiva of physicality. So that's why Yaakov lomeis. That's what Chazal meant when they said Yaakov Avinu did not die, just like other Marishan. Had he not indulged physically in the world to get physical pleasure, he also would have lived forever. right? It's only that Hashem. If you're going to eat with taiva, the day you eat from taiva, most tomus, that's the day you're going to die. Right? The minute you start feeling yourself as a separate individual, that itself is death. Right? You're going to kill yourself. Right? So Yaakov Avinu lomes. He didn't die because he knew this secret and he lived it. He lived like all the Marishim before the Chet. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was a nitzas, the Rizal says it was a spark of Yaakov Avinu's Hashem, he also had this secret. The secret that they toiled to acquire it. They weren't born with it. They toiled to achieve this through the Taryag mitzvahs. They went through the whole field pulling out the weeds and the thorns and the thistles and plowing and harvesting and then watering and going through all the Taryag mitzvahs with the Limud Torah involved in them till they reached that Madrega. It wasn't easy to acquire. What would have been easy to all the Marishim now had to go through tremendous amounts of toiling and effort. So explains the Tzaddik, we can understand now why the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda says, that on Atzeres, on Shavuos, the commandment was to eat, to bring the two loaves of bread, chometz, not matzah, chometz bread, on Shavuos, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Kadesh Yisborchu Peiros Eilon, so that the fruit of the trees will be blessed. Manu Shemitah, it's not a fruit tree anymore. The Beis Hashem didn't say to bring those two loaves of bread any other day of the year other than Shavuos. Shavuos is the day that Rebbeinu Shem gave us the Torah Kedesh. And when Hashem Yisbor gave us the Torah, it would not have been for the Chet HaEgel, Amati Elohim Atem, they would have reached again the Madrega of Adam Arishon before the Chet. There would have been no more death. And we would be on the easy street today, right? The world would have been completely fixed. But for whatever reason, they didn't manage to hold on to that Madrega. But what the giving of the Torah was not just an opportunity, but it was an event that took place that for a certain moment in time, for as long as it lasted, the world was fixed. All Kaisel had to do was carry on with that, and they would have fixed the whole world. The whole world would have been Kodesh Yetzirah, would have been destroyed. All of humanity would have been in times of Geula, whoever would have made it, whoever wouldn't have made it, would have been destroyed, and everything would have been fixed. So, in the Beis HaMikdash, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, every year, in the Beis HaMikdash, the same Hashpah, the same blessing, the same source of energy came back on Shavuos, in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbeinu Shem said, don't lose the opportunity, gentlemen. The Rebbeinu Shem is giving the Torah the same influence, the same shefa, the same blessing is going to come into Beis HaMikdash every year on that day. Bring the wheat now. Go get some loaves of wheat. Go get some bread. And make sure it's chometz with the Yetzer Hara in it. Bring it into the Beis HaMikdash today. Why? Because today you can fix everything up. From one day, one act, if you get it right, you can fix the entire world up. The Beis HaMikdash gives that opportunity in the Beis HaMikdash every year on Shavuos. So they could have been brought back the wheat to the tree. Really, what it was in the Beis HaMikdash to bring those two loaves of bread was an attempt to elevate wheat back to the tree and to bring man back to the level of Adam Harishon.
Why bread? Why can't we bring wheat?
That's where we fell. But Dover, the Chazal tell us, the thing that brings you down, you have to fix with that thing. Bread's made from wheat, right? So the thing that brought him down, according to Abshman Dohmer, and the Reb Tzadok says that everybody agrees, that even though there's a machlokas, the seven different spheres, even though there's a machlokas, says they all agree with each other, but I'm not going to go into all that. Everybody agrees, says Reb Tzadok, that the wheat was a tree before Chet Adam Rishon. He says the only machlokas is where the Chet started, but everybody agrees, he says, that wheat was a tree, and then after the Chet, wheat was not a tree. But in any event, At least according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah bringing the two loaves of bread, which was the siba, with the chometz, with the yetzer hara, that was the thing that brought man down, was the taiva that came from the yetzer hara. The day the Rebbeinu Shem gives the Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, the opportunity comes back to fix it up. Just like at Matan Torah itself, at Har Sinai, there was an opportunity, not just an opportunity, but it really did, if they had held on to it, they really would have fixed up the entire world. In a microcosm, that could happen in the Beis HaMikdash. Couldn't anymore fix up the entire world immediately like it was at Har Sinai, but it could have a tremendous blessing on the Jewish people to weaken and to diminish their Yetzer Hara to the extent that the fruit of the trees would be blessed. There would be an actual physical effect of what they were doing. They were elevating the creation to a certain extent back to a higher level that it was before Chedor Bader Rishon. So now the fruit trees also, Rashi says, on the day that man was cursed, right? On the day the man was cursed, so the ground was cursed also. You know what happens when the ground gets cursed? You know what a curse is? What's a curse? A curse is, look, you've got $1 million, I'm going to make it disappear. I'm going to take away from you, not by taking it from you. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to cause you to lose it. Something's going to happen. You're going to have a fire. You're going to have a flood. You're going to get sick. You won't be able to benefit from your money. I'm going to curse you. I'm not stealing anything from you. I'm wishing that what you do have, you will not be able to use. That's what a curse is. Right? So a Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Adama, says, what you could produce, you're not going to produce anymore. Adam, you brought down yourself a madrega. So what the earth could produce, which is a tree, which could bring you, connect you directly with the Rebbeinu Shem without any intermediate stages, that it can't produce anymore. It will not be able to produce anymore. You'll have to go through a whole different process now of tarig mitzvahs and dealing with the Yetzer Hara and Amola Shel Torah. And the only way to deal with the Yetzer Hara is through Amola Shel Torah. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavrin. The only way to deal with the Yetzer Hara, there's nothing that can fix the Yetzer Hara other than Torah. You're going to have to go through this whole process, and then you'll be able to bring back, at least in a microcosm, yourself, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, like Yaakov Avinu, like other tzaddikim who are oiled to them, these tremendous... Chazal tell a certain people they only died b'itio shel nochash. They didn't sin their whole lives, but there was still a bit of a curse on them from the original sin of the nochash. From the nochash. In other words, it could be a person could live his life in total perfection. If he did end making mistakes, maybe he could do tshuva, whatever total perfection means. But he might have to die just because there's a curse on Adam. Certain individuals didn't even have to go through that. But through tariq mitzvahs, through the Torah, a person can get all the way back. So you can take one day, Torah tells us, you take the day Shavuos, bring two loaves of bread. That was your downfall. Bread was your downfall because you put the Yetzer Hara, you put the leaven in it. Today's the day you can fix it up. You can at least on a microcosm, on some level, you can bring the world back to a higher level today. Bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. So say, what?
I'm confused. By the
according to that opinion, so either, like you said, either was loaves of bread that were already ready.
Or you have to make bread.
That's the attack of the Gemara. Whatever the Metzius was, there was some way of doing. Al Koponim, you see from here that it's possible to do an action which is very small and in a very limited fashion. Take the two loaves of bread, bring it to the base of Mikdash, and you make a tremendous tikkun. All the fruits are going to stag now, going to be better. Right? You elevate the creation to a higher level. He says, if a person eats on Shabbos, so the Rizal says that it won't harm. It won't increase your Yetzer Hara. You eat during the week and you really gluttonize, right? I won't say the word that people use, but they really get into it, you know, kolatz moisai tamano, right? They get their whole body, ramachai boim, vishusagidim, they get it into the food, right? Guy's tucking himself in with his napkin and, you know, he's ready to liyachdo goofy in my mouth, right? He's making a yichud sholem here with the food there. You know, they have these restaurants where they put they just gargantuous steak, right, which only an elephant could eat, perhaps. And then if you are one of the few chosen people who can finish it off, the glutton which you are, we're going to put you a big picture on you, going into the Book of World History, Book of World Records in our restaurant. They have these things. It's filth. It's heckled. You want to throw up to hear about this thing. But, you know, There are people who this is the proudest day of their life. That when they finish that steak. A good friend of mine, he told me he had to entertain his clients. I think I mentioned him. Had to entertain some clients. So his company, they have a $20 million contract with his company. So his company told this friend of mine who deals with this that's his clients, right? Says, go entertain them, take them to Las Vegas. He took four of them to Las Vegas from the East Coast. He flew them out to Las Vegas, right? And poor guy had to suffer through Las Vegas. But he says these people, they wined and dined the entire night till 3 in the morning. I can't imagine eating it. They're nothing else. They're wining and dining.
But
They consumed four of them. The bill for dinner was $8,000. $8,000 bill for dinner. Mafia Lorraine. So they drank the most expensive champagnes and the most expensive scotches and the most expensive steak. They had a great time, a wonderful time. I would throw up the next day. But they called him a few days later and they told him this was the most meaningful night in our lives. Meaningful line. Lama lo, bemet lama lo, right? Bemet lama lo. The goofy my bosser, right? They became a shtick bosser. So a person, you know, when he goes the opposite of that, right? The person who eats, he becomes more gashmi. Who eats like that, he becomes more gashmi, I would say. But to go in the opposite direction, right? To be mekadosh the achila, a person eats on the shame, kedusha Shabbos, but not an easy thing to do. You just saying kovod Shabbos doesn't do it, you guys. But a person really who would eat the shame oinik Shabbos, right? So he can elevate himself that all his achilas, all the other food that he eats during the week is also kodesh. So that's the big mila of eating from a sudas mitzvah. And Reb Tzadik knew what he's talking about because he only ate from sudas mitzvah. He says if you eat from sudas mitzvah, it elevates every other type of achila also. So Reb Tzadik says, to get back to Tu B'Shvat, we'll end here. We don't have time to go into everything else. That to eat the fruits, the minhag of Klal Yisrael, to eat fruits, let's go get 15. 15 is an interesting number also, but we don't have time to go into it. Take the fruits on Tu B'Shvat, and you eat and you make a brocha, you're bringing back, in a very small act, it's even smaller than the two loaves of bread in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's significant, and there's nothing in Ruchnius that's not significant. And you make the brochas, Bo Hatzah Hashem HaKem Elchon, Borei Priyates. I'm eating this for shame, Shemayim, I'm eating this for the sake of making the bracha. I want to make the bracha, so I have to eat it, so I've got to make it, whatever, everybody according to his madrega. And he elevates, now this is what we were supposed to eat. Fruit of the trees, this is supposed to be my food. I was supposed to connect directly to Hashem, without any intermediate steps. Right? So when we make those brachas on the food, on the fruits, on Tu B'Shvat, it helps that all our eating for the whole year is elevated. You grow in Ruchnius. Your Kedush will be greater, that you'll grow in Ruchnius, that you can, your other eatings, your other, you know, feeding processes that you go through in the rest of the year won't be so much type involved. On a scale of 1 to 100, you'll be on 60 instead of 75. I don't know, whatever it is, it'll be a measurable difference. Maybe you won't be able to measure, but the Rebbe Hashem can measure it, that you're not eating with so much taiva. And the less taiva we have in our lives, the more we're alive. Because taiva is biyom achocho mimena mos tomus. Taiva is death. What is taiva? Taiva is I am separate from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And we're supposed to go the other direction. We're supposed to be dovik be'etz achayim. We're supposed to cling to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's what the fruits of the trees really represent. The fruits of the trees are the eitz, like we said before, because Bohu is called an eitz. Man is called an eitz. We are supposed to cling to Hashem. The eitz is, you know, the difference between grass and eitz, you know, a tree is one big thing. The grass is zillions of them all over. We're supposed to cling to Hashem Yisborach, the oneness of Hashem, in a direct fashion. He wrote in Bez Hashem, we should all be zoichet. Now is a special time of year also. It's not a coincidence comes in Shabbat. We don't have time to go into all. Maybe on Thursday we'll speak about it more. It's not a coincidence that it's in Shabbat. This is a special time in the year where a person can really work on raising himself to a higher level of Kedusha, of sanctity. And we'll raise our level to a higher level of Kedusha and sanctity. Memela, we diminish the taiva.